2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmor.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, you could do so. Use the promo code podcast, get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to the Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the Slack chat channel, which is open 24/7, 365. Once again, it's DFSArmor.com. Use the promo code podcast for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on the Twitter machine, 14A.Walsh. Find Keith Hall over there as well, Boomer's DFS Daddy. So I don't know what's gotten into all these NBA players lately, Keith. Why are we seeing so many damn hockey fights out there?
Because they don't like the younger refs not calling fouls when they're clearly fouls.
So you're saying they would rather be punching and throwing fists at the referees instead of at each other?
Well, yeah, because when you call a foul, your tension, when you get a foul called, like, for you, when you're driving to the bucket or you're not getting ticky-tack fouls, like, there's a balance that has been altered in shift. There's been a shift in the force, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, stakes are higher than ever. I mean, players are making $200 million, you know, a year or in a contract. And they, like, honestly, like, some of the older refs, they were really bad about making it about themselves. And some of the newer refs are just like, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't care who you are. There's not going to be any dialogue. So, therefore, the players basically take it out on each other.
Interesting. I thought it was hysterical. So, not only do we have players fighting on the court, but they're trying to get back to each other in the tunnels. So, the whole thing there with the CP3 on Monday night, where he actually knows the bowels of the Staples Center, trying to get in there through the back door of the trainer's room. Very, very hysterical stuff that we got going on in the NBA. And, of course, Aaron Aflalo trying to take the biggest punch anyone has ever – or I'm sorry, trying to throw the biggest punch that anyone's ever thrown in an NBA game. Probably Shaquille O'Neal, probably with the biggest haymaker of all time. But that's, you know, that's just physical stature and whatnot. So very, very interesting stuff. You think we got to worry about any of this with any players going forward?
Well, yeah, I think we do. But what it is on a given night or anything like that, we're not going to be able to tell.
Exactly. I mean, you know, was the next time that the Clippers and the Rockets are on the schedule, I guess we'll take a little more in-depth look at this whole
February
thing.
February 23rd?
February 23rd. I thought it was sooner than that, but
no.
All right, fair enough. All right, we got a huge slate on deck for today. Over 10 games. Usually have the exact number here. What do we
10.
Got today? 10 games. Look at that, ladies and gents. And, you know, forewarning, I guess we're going to have to take a deeper look when we get to the positions with the players from the Pelicans and from the Nuggets. These are the only two teams that were on a back end of a back-to-back tonight. But, you know, they are in some pretty extreme circumstances. But we will get to that when we get to the certain players at that position. Let's kick it off with the point guards tonight. Who are you starting with?
I mean, you got to start with Steph, right?
I thought we were going to start with Russell Westbrook.
Well, I mean, that's obvious considering who I am. But
who are you?
But, I mean, Steph's in a good spot. I'm a little concerned about the spacing without Draymond in the lineup. That's what we got about 45 minutes ago as far as as far as information on that one. But I think with Clay and Durant out there as well, then it won't be as big of an issue. Now, I will say this. I think Draymond's the most important person on that team. He's what makes that offense click. And for whatever reason, they just don't usually quite get off to as fast a start without Draymond usually.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's definitely something to be looking at.
Indeed, indeed. So we were talking about Russell Westbrook prior to recording this show, but over his last six games, he's posting nearly 2 fantasy points per minute against the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, granted, most of that was last season when he was kind of doing this whole thing by himself. But again, you know, this is a team that he grew up watching his whole life against the Lakers. Of course, there's going to be extra incentive to do well. Taking the fact that Lonzo Ball going to be out for tonight's game, a guy who's actually been a very underrated defender this season, but now you put in guys like, oh, geez, like a Tyler Ennis or a Jordan Clarkson, whoever it'll be there. Now, he'll probably see a lot more Kentavious Caldwell-Pope than usual, but again, it's not a matchup in the past. Like, Russ has still done well against KCP in the past, so I think everything will bode well, very well for him tonight. He has $12,000 on FanDuel, which is a lot more expensive than anybody else at the position, but again, I just think he'll be damn well worth it. The last time he faced the Lakers, he only played 28 minutes, and he still put up nearly 50 fantasy points.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things, like, you can't really, I mean, if you say you want to go with Russ, and 95% of the time I usually do, I mean, you can't fault it.
Right.
I mean, right now we've got him projected for 55 fantasy points, and that's probably a little bit low. Especially if this game stays close, which the way the Thunder are playing lately, it stays close. I don't have any confidence in my Thunder to go out and actually, blow a team out. Even it doesn't matter the quality. So, and just to let everybody know, I don't know if you do hear this or not, but if you do hear Katie in the background, please don't call child services. He is trying to take a nap. He's been asleep multiple times, and every time I set him in his crib, he wakes up. So, yeah, that's what's going on behind me.
Yeah, and by the way, this has been going on since about, 2 hours ago almost?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, yes. So we have we've been trying to settle the kid down. I wasn't able to sing any, like, lullabies or songs or anything like that, but I'm sure if I would have been able to, I think we would have calmed the kid down. But all right, let's talk more about the point guard position. I think an interesting situation could be Goran Dragic tonight. No Tyler Johnson for the Miami Heat. That kind of puts Dragic in a spot to pretty much do everything. The price did increase a little bit there. On FanDuel is $7,100. Any interest in going there tonight?
Maybe a little bit. It's hard because the Bucks are actually pretty decent against point guards, and I don't feel like Dragic is the type of player that I can attack a negative matchup with a lot. But the minutes are definitely going to be there with Tyler Johnson out, so that kind of trumps it a little bit. I don't mind it. It's not my favorite play of the night, though.
Fair enough, fair enough. One play that I found pretty interesting, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of data to support it, but Kyle Lowry tonight up against the Detroit Pistons. This is his second game back from injury, which we've seen be a very interesting spot. There have been guys like Aaron Gordon comes to mind. There's just been plenty of guys that in their second game back from injury, they've just gone bananas. The good thing here for Kyle Lowry is that he played 37 minutes in his first game back. That was Monday at Philly. And then, you know, we look at the matchup against the Pistons. You've had a couple guys like Chris Dunn, Spencer Dinwiddie have gone absolutely nuts on Ish Smith lately. So with all that being said, any interest here in Lowry?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could obviously make a case for it. He's always a guy that's that kind of pops off the screen and has the ability to go for, you know, 50 fantasy points. Is that what's really going to happen? Probably not. He'll probably get you about 45 or so. But at his price, I mean, you'll take 45 in cash and, you know, at least play with the ability of having the upside. I just think the ceiling is so high on Steph and Russ that unless you're paying up for two point guards, you can't fade. You can't fade one of or both of them to kind of go mid-range on both. Unless you're kind of stacking like a Durant, a Giannis, and an Anthony Davis in the same lineup. So,
gotcha. All right. Looking at the rest of the point guard position, Dennis Schroeder, a guy that we really don't go to a lot, but he's had a couple nice games here in a row. You know, one in a fantastic matchup against the Brooklyn Nets where he goes bananas. Then we've also got that was actually career high points for him that game, I believe, the 34 that he scored. Against the Nets on, what was that, Friday? So we got that there, and then he comes back with a 40.5 on FanDuel against the Spurs. Tonight he takes on a Pelicans team, back end of a back-to-back, coming off two overtime games as well. Any interest here? Do you think he can pull it off for yet another game?
Yeah, I think he can. It's I don't like paying $7,800 for him though. That's my problem with Dennis Schroeder tonight. I would rather play $7,800 for Chris Dunn against Golden State in a pace up matchup. I get all the reasoning behind it, but when you've got Chris Dunn, who I think is a lot better point guard, and I think has a higher ceiling than Dennis Schroeder, then I'd rather pay the same price for him. I'd rather go down to maybe a Milos Teodosic.
Right.
Or sorry, not Milos. I like Milos, but not at that price range. Sorry. I don't know. If you had your choice, Dennis Schroeder or Eric Bledsoe.
Oh boy!
For 500 less.
I mean, Bledsoe's interesting. He's a guy that I had, you know, written down here on the sheet that you know I was probably gonna get to next. But you know, he's shown some decent potential here in the last two games. I don't know. I think I'd probably go Schroeder here, just given the fact that you know New Orleans is kind of gonna be a dead team walking tonight. You know, could be some extra turnovers. They already have the second most turnovers per game in the NBA, so you know maybe that's an extra steal or two that you know we might not see from Bledsoe. So I would say Schroeder.
Okay, so would you rather do him or Chris Dunn? No. Okay, so get this, here's the last three games for Chris Dunn as far as fantasy points. 24.5, 55.6, 39.4. And if you want to go back to Houston, 46.8. But if you go to Dennis Schroeder for the same price, the last four games, 29.3, 36.4, 54.1, 40.5. So about the same. The problem is, the problem is like, you know, Schroeder's coming off of a better game than Chris Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
So I know where I'm going, but the question is, you know, is it worth it to get off of Schroeder to go to Chris Dunn, you know, considering?
Well, here's my thing, right? So Golden State, we know, probably not going to turn the ball over a whole lot. You know, one of the best – I think they are the best offensive efficiency team in the NBA. So you might not get those steals that you usually get for Chris Dunn. However, the guy, he can block some shots. Again, don't know if that's going to happen at a great quantity against the Golden State Warriors, but I don't know. The thing with Dunn is we know that upside, that 50-point upside is there, right? So that's probably better for us, guys that are playing GPPs. But I don't know that a lot of those extra peripherals that Dunn gets will be there tonight for him against the Warriors.
Yeah, so I mean – he's shown the ability that he can score in the 20s and 30s. That's not normally his game, mm-hmm. Like you said. But and the Hawks are more reliant on Schroeder actually scoring. And then if he you know, contributes to the peripherals and gets you, you know, about 6 rebounds and, you know, about 7-8 assists maybe, then,
right.
You know, it could be a moot point. I think they're both fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like Chris Dunn's upside in a faster paced game a little bit more.
I feel you. All right, now we really haven't talked about any value options at the point guard position today. I don't even know if we're gonna really need to be going there, but how do you feel? Like, Spencer Dinwiddie's a guy that keeps popping off on the domination station tonight. Any interest in going there? I mean, even as a Nets fan, I typically don't like using Dinwiddie in these spots where the Nets are nearly at full health. So I don't know. How do you feel about this since he's on all over the DS right now in the initial upload?
I think if there's one person that you can use, it's Spencer, especially since now he's $6,100.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy that we were paying $7,100 for, 2 weeks ago, and he was performing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things that you can take into consideration. I don't mind it at 6,100. I'm very, very skeptical to play anybody against San Antonio.
Right.
Just because they play at such a slower pace, I would probably rather either go all the way down to Milos or just bite the extra bullet and probably go up to Jamal Murray.
Ooh, Jamal. Who's been stinking up the joint lately. I figured last night would be a good night to come back to Jamal Murray going up against Dallas, which we know has been a good matchup in the past. You know, I figure a lot of those struggles for Jamal Murray had a lot to do with playing 6 games in 9 days.
I don't think a lot of last night had anything to do with him. I think it was just the fact that Will Barton and Gary Harris took over.
And, you know, not to mention Jokic as well.
And Jokic. So, I mean, when you really sit there and look at it, I'm trying to pull it up now here. I mean, he only took 9 shots last night. The last 3 games, he's only taken 7, 7, and 9. I mean, this is a guy that was shooting the ball minimum 13 times a game, and sometimes as high as, you know, 23.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, he goes through these little stretches where he just kind of tries to defer a little bit more, and usually that's about the time that, you know, everybody else gets hot. So I don't think that was totally him last night. I mean, obviously he could have done more to, you know, get his shot off or whatever, but when you've got guys like Gary Harris and Will Barton and Nikola Jokic going nuts, then, you know, you just kind of say, okay, here you go.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right, looking more – all right, now here's an interesting situation, and I probably know your feelings on this, but I want to bring it up just in case anybody has any thoughts on it. So, so Marcus Gasol is listed as questionable today, and if he doesn't play, Mario Chalmers might be a little more interesting here at 3,700. Now, Chalmers has been back in the rotation. He's playing nearly about 20 minutes per game. I'm pulling up the numbers here. And also, too, James Ennis could be out, so I think that could make and by the way, he's questionable, James Ennis. I didn't know if I said that clear enough. But he, you know, him being out could mean, you know, Memphis has to shift a couple things in their rotation as well. Obviously, we got to wait for the news. But if Gasol were going to be out, any interest in going there?
I think I'd rather go with Andrew Harrison.
Okay. Who is also listed as a point guard, right?
Yes.
All right, but remember, he plays more shooting guard position. Tyreke Evans has been the
yes, exactly,
been the point guard.
Right, but I mean, Andrew Harrison will run the backup one. When you compare Andrew Harrison to Mario Chalmers, I mean, Andrew Harrison's getting 30 minutes a game. Mario Chalmers is getting 19.
Right.
So that's kind of where where, you know, my reasoning kind of lies in that. Now, granted, Mario Chalmers is $3,700 compared to Andrew Harrison's $55, but, I mean, I don't think that you really, really, really need to, especially considering some of the news that we just got, I don't think that we're going to need to save a ton of money at the point guard position tonight. I'd rather, you know, bulk up the minutes and go from there.
Interesting, interesting. All right. So you did just talk about that the news. Kawhi Leonard, he will be out indefinitely. This just came through 2 minutes ago, and I think that's why you were chuckling. Yep. But he's going to be out here. So hey, look, we know, you know, pretty much anybody against Brooklyn is a good idea. We probably need word that Tony Parker wouldn't play in order to go to some of these Spurs point guards. But any inkling of interest here?
No, because it can – I mean, Murray's going to get some run. Danny Green's going to get some run. Kyle Anderson can actually initiate the offense. So.
Okay.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah, it is. It is one of those things, isn't it? All right. Any other point guards before we move on? There were a couple that we didn't touch, like Kemba Walker, John Wall. I don't know. Just any of these other guys that we really didn't touch on?
Nah.
All right. Fair enough. Okie dokie. Let us go to the shooting guard position now. So we just talked about, you know, Marcus Gasol possibly being out for tonight's game. That would put Tyreek Evans in a nice little spot. Without Marcus Gasol on the floor this season, Tyreek Evans has a usage rate of 35.2%. By far the most on the Grizzlies in terms of people that matter. Wayne Selden Jr. and Vince Hunter have higher usage rates, but, you know, they're basically irrelevant, so don't worry about that. What are your thoughts here on Evans?
I mean, I love Tyreek Evans. If I'm paying up for shooting guard, it's going to be this guy right here. I'm getting a cheat code, basically, and getting him at the shooting guard position as a point guard. I mean... It's Bradley Beal in a tougher matchup against Nicholas Batum. It's Tyreek Evans, or it's Donovan Mitchell. I mean, this is the top tier for me.
No Sweet Lou.
No, not going against Gary Harris. I think his ownership's going to be higher than I want it to be, even on especially on a 10-game slate. And I think Gary Harris, even on the back end of a back-to-back. Now, Lou can certainly go off, and if you want to play Sweet Lou, go right on ahead. I'm just trying to leverage the field on this one.
Sure. So makes sense.
It's one of those things, like, if I'm paying up, Tyreek Evans is my favorite play here, over a Sweet Lou, over a Bradley Beal, definitely over DeMar DeRozan at 9,100. I just can't decide if I want Tyreek against the Knicks or Donovan Mitchell against Sacramento as a hammer, as one of my point guards above 8K. That's what I can't really decide. I mean, everything in me says Tyreek, especially if Gasol's out, because he's basically a point guard.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. But Donovan Mitchell is such a good player. Like, I love watching this kid play, because he's never met a shot he doesn't like, so...
Sure. Here's one little bit of maybe here for Donovan Mitchell. Now, granted, we know that the price has gone up. He's a guy that I think we can typically rely on for about 35 fantasy points a night. Now, Sacramento has been doing a lot of weird things with their starting lineup, and I know one of the things that they like to do every now and again is throw George Hill in there at the shooting guard position. So I think that could make life a little difficult on Donovan Mitchell. Not saying that, you know, he's going to get shut down by any means, but again, I just think it could be a little impediment on the way to his massive upside.
I'm trying to look here. Let's see here. So much has changed since I released the initial DS that I've got George Hill for 24 minutes.
Yeah, it was weird. Last game was the first time I think they went away from him in the starting lineup for a little while. They went to Bogdanovich. But I just wonder in this matchup against Utah with Mitchell if they don't care.
They're playing their young guys, remember?
Yes, but you know, at the point guard position, I think you know you're still going to see Fox and Hill as the two guys there. So again, I don't think Mitchell's going to get shut down. So. It's just something that we should watch out for.
I don't know if George Hill plays 20 minutes. I'm sitting here thinking about it because you can when you take De'Aaron Fox out, you can legitimately put Buddy Hield at the one and have Bogdanovich at the two. And it's just I think George Hill plays 20 minutes. Yeah, it's going to cut into Fox's time. But Fox has been playing so well lately. And I honestly really do think that part of the reason why is because he doesn't have Frank Mason looking over his shoulder. Like, why the Kings drafted two point guards last season, I have no idea. But Fox should have nothing to worry about because he was a top overall pick or the top 10 pick.
Right.
Actually, I believe he was the third overall pick, wasn't he?
I believe he was five or six, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't remember what Sacramento's draft slot was. But, like, and then they turn around and they draft another point guard. I get why the team does it, but, you know, as a young guy coming into the league, how much confidence do you have to have, or how much confidence do you have if now all of a sudden you've got the reigning college defense or the reigning college player of the year coming in at your position as well, even if you are a top five pick?
Yeah, it'll probably throw you for a little tizzy. By the way, Fox, fifth overall pick.
Yeah, and so now Mason's out right now, who, like I said all along, I think right now, currently, NBA ready is the better point guard. That's what happens when you stay in college for 4 years and you play at a premier school like Kansas. Great player, by the way. Like, I loved watching him at the NCAA tournament when I went this past spring. But, like, I can understand having George Hill as your backup or, you know, even splitting time. But to now have that – I mean, they legit had a five-guard rotation there for a while, and the only reason I say five is because when you're sitting there and you're looking at Garrett Temple, he was splitting a lot of the 3 minutes with Justin Jackson. I don't know, 6,200 is very, very – he's getting the minutes. He's had the production. I don't think a lot of people are going to pay up 6,200 for De'Aaron Fox, though, against Utah.
Yep. All right, let's look some other – this other – let's look at some other places here at shooting guard position because I really like this guy tonight, Kent Bazemore, going up against the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, look, we know shooting guards against the Pelicans, money in the bank, straight cash, homie. However, we got – and it's a good however – New Orleans Pelicans have the second most turnovers per game. They're going to be on a back-to-back tonight. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of turnovers tonight. In the initial upload of the Domination Station, Kent Bazemore was in there for 10 lineups when running that 10-3 theory, the 10 lineups with three uniques in it. Look, Bazemore, 5,700, all formats tonight for me, man. Full systems go.
Yeah, it's – I mean, he's – he can run the one, initiate the offense. He can run at the three. It's just one of those things, like, you've got to – and he's still cheap.
Yeah.
5,700, going to play 30-plus minutes. it's just one of those things. Like, I try not to overthink it with days anymore. I mean, he's got the ability to go off for 45, but he's at least consistent.
Indeed.
If you look at his game log here, and guys, when I look at game logs, I want to touch on this real quick. When I look at game logs, I don't look at, game logs in any other reason other than to find out how he's done in past performances. The actual fantasy points that the guys are putting up, like the results, that has no decision based on, or that has no merit based, or to go based on the decision that I'm making for that day. So it's just kind of one of those things. But his last tough game, he didn't do well versus Brooklyn. I didn't watch that game. I don't know what was going on. But he did well against San Antonio. But, against Gary Harris, he had a tough game. The Clippers, which is kind of, let's see here. Let's look at the ADVP here. Bazemore, 1.03 for New Orleans. What's the Clippers? Who plays the Clippers? 1.046. Okay, so it's not quite as good of a matchup as the Clippers is, but it's still pretty decent. He put up 40 fantasy points. So, I mean, we know in good matchups he can perform, so.
Yep. And again, the most appealing thing is just the fact we know how much New Orleans turns the ball over, going to be very tired, two straight overtime games. So, again, I don't think Atlanta's going to blow out New Orleans by any means. But, again, I just think that this is a nice spot to capitalize, especially on FanDuel, where we get the three-point steals and whatnot. So, a similar situation here tonight, and we were talking about this guy on Monday who we both liked, but Tyrone Wallace, who is at the shooting guard position. He does play small forward, though, for the Clippers. That's a favorable matchup for him tonight. Now, again, he's going to be taking on a team that's on the back end of a back-to-back. Denver commits the 6th most turnovers per game in the NBA, and Ty Wallace is already making his stamp here in this rotation. He's played at least 31 minutes in 5 of the 6 games since joining the Clippers. He's got at least 2 steals in 4 of the 6 games, since joining the Clippers. So very cheap. The only thing that that seems to be the case with Wallace is that he does better in these up-tempo matchups. Denver running a slower pace this season, but again, too, they're going to be pretty tired tonight. So I don't think this is going to be like a run-and-gun type of game here tonight. So I don't know how you feel about Wallace. The price is certainly appealing, but are we going to get all those points that we usually get from him?
I mean, we can. excuse me.
You are excused.
We've talked about it a ton. There's been one game that he hasn't played more than 30 minutes. Like, it's the issue that I have is he didn't close. If I remember correctly.
He did not, no.
So, as KD's still going strong, it's kind of one of those things like, is it really, really... I mean, at that price range right now, you can't really... you can't really go through and not it's so hard to get 30 minutes at this price. It's so hard to pass up. If you pass it up, I think you're doing it on a GPP basis as far as if you think that he's going to be highly owned. There's just not a straight pivot that you can really go to.
Yeah.
Like, at this price, for this amount of minutes, I mean, maybe Jordan Clarkson. But his minutes are up and down, even with LeVar Ball out, or Lonzo Ball. Zach LaVine's still not playing over 20 minutes.
Yeah, let's talk about him real quick because I've seen a lot of people in Slack have a lot of interest with him there. I believe he's still going to be on this 20-minute cap.
Yeah, he's going to be on 20-minute cap for...
He did go bananas in that last game there against Miami, who, by the way, was on a back end of a back-to-back, and that's a favorable ADDP matchup. It's been a favorable matchup, you know, for whatever, if he's going to be playing the two or the three here against the Warriors. But I think, you know, everybody's obviously looking at that last game. I'm not all that thrilled about him only being capped at 20 minutes, though.
Yeah, because he's not even getting, like, he's leaning more towards the 19 than the, if you want to play Zach LaVine, if you're scripting, you want to play Zach LaVine in a, you know, 150 lineup script at like a 5%. In the case that he duplicates what he did, then fine, go ahead. But as far as like making a core 3-4 lineups and going for, you know, profit, then no, I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I'd much rather go with Jordan Clarkson, who has a shot, at least a shot at playing 30 minutes.
Yes, indeed. All right. Oh my goodness. What else have we got here? Now, Justin Holiday was interesting because I saw somebody mention that he looks great on the sim model, but he doesn't look all that great on the domination station. I know both will probably get one more update today, right?
Yes.
Well, obviously the domination station. I'm not sure how the sim sheet works, but if that gets another update today, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Okay, Buddy Hield was interesting last game, and you nailed this one on Monday. You know, he was in his return coming back to Oklahoma where he played his college ball. So that was a nice little narrative piece to have there. Going to be facing Utah today. Do you see a duplicate performance? Because, you know, as Jaeger mentioned, he'll be running a lot more younger guys out there tonight. So probably going to bode well for Hield, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could. I don't mind going back to it, especially since he's cheaper. And like I said, you know, it's not out of the question that he can run some of the backup one. I mean, he was a ball handler in college. You know, one of the things that's kind of stunted his growth in the NBA is learning how to play off the ball. As I mentioned that last year when he was with the Pelicans. So he can run some of that backup one, you know, and they can put Bogdanovich at the two or the three, and you know they can work a lot of different lines, and rotations with this team. So I don't mind it because he's a guy that can get hot, and when he gets hot, like it's fun to watch, but it's. It's very scary. Like I know what he does, just like Marcus Smart. I know what these guys do when they come back home. Like there aren't a lot of, I mean, other than Blake Griffin, there aren't a lot of Oklahoma Sooners in the NBA. So when they come back, like it becomes a big deal for the state of Oklahoma. You know, you've got Juwan Evans, as far as guys that actually get like significant playing time, you got Juwan Evans, Buddy Hield, Marcus Smart, and Blake Griffin that actually, you know, went to college in the state of Oklahoma. You know, you got Tony Allen, but I mean, he's kind of out there now. But
gotcha.
I don't mind it. I don't love it. It's a qualifier play.
Okay.
That's the best way for me to kind of describe it because, I mean, in that price range, you're looking at Wayne Ellington, Justin Holiday, Bogdanovich, you know, and if you go a little bit cheaper, Jeremy Lamb and Tyrone Wallace. So it's really, you're going to get the minutes, but is he going to get hot? So, and this is a pace down game. So at least it's not, it's kind of a pace up game for the Kings. I mean, this is not, there's a reason that the total is only 203, guys. Like, this is not a game to
lose. I think that's pretty high for these two teams.
It is, but that's the problem is when you've got a 221, a 217, 221, 230, you know, 213, 213 and a half, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, Oklahoma City plays at a slower pace than they normally do, but LA plays so fast that their total's up to a 217. Like, it's just, this could honestly, here you go. You ready for this?
I am waiting with open arms.
This could honestly be a Terrence Ferguson night.
Oh my. Oh my.
I wouldn't bank on it, but if you want to take a shot in a qualifier or a large field tournament, and you're making multiple lineups, and by multiple, I mean like more than 25, he's a guy that I wouldn't mind throwing in. I don't love it, but we've seen him be able to get hot from the field and go ballistic. I don't know why the sim pops with Justin Holliday, because this is the only guy that it's ever done this with, and it's done it twice really? Now. Yes, it's done it twice now.
You know, I love me some Justin Holliday.
Right, but with Zach LaVine back, I mean,
I was just saying more of a man-to-man sort of thing. I'm a Justin Holliday fan. I wasn't taking anybody else into account there.
Gotcha.
I'm sure Semple have some sort of joke for the way I said that from a man-to-man thing. I already know it. It's happening. One last guy I want to talk about, just because I thought the price was hysterical on this guy, but Tim Hardaway, who ruined everybody's day on Monday. He was all the way priced down.
How did he ruin it? That was the easiest thing to predict.
I did. A lot of people had their day ruined. I'm not going on feelings here. I'm going straight facts on this one. He ruined a lot of people's days. So anyway, now this is what's hysterical is that on FanDuel, he got like a $2,000 price increase. So he's all the way up to about, what, $6,400 now on FanDuel. He's going to play tonight. He just rested on Monday. No big deal. Any interest here in GPPs? This is kind of right up your wheelhouse right here, right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I really, really do.
But $6,400, I mean, that is ridiculous. But, you know, there is enough value today that I think you could certainly make this work.
Oh, I think there is too. The question I have is, you know, when we're sitting there looking at this, and you're looking at Tim Hardaway Jr., is like that game against New Orleans went to overtime. That's why he played over 30 minutes. Like we hadn't really expected that. Like we expected it to be gradually increased. It jumped by 7 minutes, 8 minutes almost. Like, this is unbelievable.
I know. This is the most prolonged episode of this of all time.
Is he going to play closer to 25 minutes, you know, or is he going to play closer to the 30? I would like to think it's going to be somewhere in between, but there's no way to know.
Now that Sunday, I wasn't able to watch any of the NBA games, but did he play all 5 minutes of the overtime? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't even know they went into overtime. I did after the fact, but I didn't even watch the game.
Okay. So. I mean, here's the thing. So, all right, so that game was the 14th. So he's had about, you know, what, 2.5 days to rest now. Again, I think you can probably expect, so let's say he did play all 5 minutes of overtime. That's 27 minutes that he would have normally played. So,
and that's again, where I think that he's going to be.
I mean, I would even say 30, because if we're talking about a gradual increase for Hardaway, I think 30 is certainly possible.
Yeah. I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibilities either. Ginobili's out.
Yes, Ginobili is out.
I just saw that, so.
All right. All right. Enough with the shooting guards.
Well, no, hold on.
No.
I've got him projected at 32 minutes right now.
Ginobili?
So.
Oh, yeah. Hardaway.
Yeah, Hardaway.
I was like, wow, Ginobili.
So, I mean, that pretty much, because he's going to initiate the offense. That pretty much says that everybody else is out of the question for me for the Knicks. So.
All right. Fair enough. All right, so let's get to small forwards here. I think top guy, we all know without Draymond Green in the lineup, got to be Kevin Durant. I'm a huge fan of Durant when Draymond Green is out of the lineup. This is just something I've seen from watching the games. I don't know if the stats actually match up with this, but he just seems a lot more aggressive on the defensive end, a lot more of those blocks, a lot more of those steals that that Draymond Green would have usually had. Had he been in the lineup. So, again, look, I think KD will do just fine just alone scoring against Chicago. So you add in this extra, you know, possibility of blocks and steals. I mean, KD's already doing a fantastic job of blocking shots, you know, when he's out there ready this season. So I think a little bit of an uptick can certainly benefit here.
Yeah, I think it can too. You know, it's just kind of going to be one of those things like, is it one of those fantastic things that we're going to be able to predict as far as, oh, we've got Draymond out, now we can go to, you know, Durant for cheaper and all this other stuff. And I don't know, man. Part of me says we have nothing to worry about. The other part of me says, like, you know, Draymond's out. He's the guy that creates a lot of the spacing. And I think that's going to be very difficult for – if there was a guy that it's going to be the more difficult for, it's going to be for Durant over a guy like Curry or Clay, who play a lot more in the backcourt. So that's kind of my feeling there.
All right.
You got to sit there and look at it and go, okay, well, he's $1,000 less than Giannis.
Yes.
And then you're looking at, you know, $2,300 more than Paul George. Like, this position is not top heavy today.
No, it is not. And I'm glad that you mentioned Paul George, because he was the second guy that I wanted to talk about here, even over Giannis. And again, Paul George, another LA guy, just like Russ Westbrook. Small forwards against the Lakers have been the best ADVP matchup in the entire NBA up to this point this season. So I think that, you know, that certainly bodes well for George. How could it not? You know, that was a guy that I really liked today. And then, you know, I like him even more now because I saw the note on Markieff Morris about being questionable today. And I was like, yes, this is going to be a perfect auto smash spot here, especially when he's priced at 6,600, which is nothing compared to where he's been. So, you know, now that got shot down because Markieff Morris looks like he's going to play tonight. Now, I still think that Porter is viable here because we have seen plenty of small forwards just absolutely go bananas here against the Hornets. And I'm even talking about guys like Reggie Bullock, Joe Ingles, guys that, you know, everybody can't stand playing in DFS. Guys like this have had really good games against the Hornets lately. So I was all in on Otto if Markieff Morris was going to be out. Now I'm like, okay, I still like Otto, but I'm going to be digging around elsewhere.
Yeah, it's it's one of those things. Like, I really do like Otto Porter, but I'm not sure if he's going to get a lot of the run, because I don't know. It's hard to. I know it's a good ADVP matchup. I just can't fully go and pick on MKG defense. So that's where I'm kind of leaning on this one.
All right. Now, we do have Giannis on the slate, as I mentioned. Funny how we get to him fourth out of all these guys, but he'll be going up against Miami tonight. You know, what – what he appeals to you, what here makes you nervous. I mean, he's had some good games lately, but he's also dropped some duds as well.
Yeah, he finally got right the other night, so and showed us that he actually still does have the ability to go off.
And that was via, remember, did you see that under the legs, Pat? The the legs, full court pass for the dunk? That was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to look at this. They're going to say, okay, KD with no, as KD screams in the background.
Yeah.
Durant with no Draymond. And, you know, Giannis just put up a 30-something against Miami a couple games or days ago. I'm going to go Durant. So I think this is a spot where you can pay up to be contrarian on Giannis. Mm-hmm. You know, eat the $1,000 because it's not like you can't go find the value.
Right.
So, but, I mean, I don't think you have to. I think you can get pretty good production as far as, you know, dollar per point out of Durant and Paul George.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now I'm looking here elsewhere. It's going to be an interesting night, you know, down at the lower rung of all this, because now that Kawhi Leonard has been, you know, officially ruled out indefinitely, I think this is a pretty good spot for Kyle Anderson, who's actually from Jersey, so this is a homecoming game of sorts for him, playing in Brooklyn tonight. I know he didn't do too well. I think – oh, no, it was when he played the Knicks. Kawhi wasn't supposed to play, and then he did play, which kind of – which kind of hurt him a little bit. So, you know, this could certainly work out well for him. I mean, not a ton. I mean, Wilson Chandler's pretty cheap going up against the Clippers. They are on the back end of back-to-back, so I am worried about that somewhat. Wesley Johnson just had a really nice game against the Rockets last time, but, you know, he's not a sure thing. I mean, what else on God's green earth are we looking at? I think oh, my God. I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but even with Hassan Whiteside in the lineup, maybe Josh Richardson maybe running the point on the second unit could be interesting. I mean, whole lot of yeah buts going on here at the value position. So anything really stand out to you there?
No. I mean, Damari Carroll maybe. You know, Kyle Anderson obviously is going to be pretty popular with Kawhi out. I mean, Alan Crabb, maybe. Maybe he gets hot. Maybe Etuan Moore. Maybe he gets hot. He's going to play 30 minutes.
I don't know how long I can play this. Maybe Alan Crabb is going to get hot game because it's burned me bad. Like, I'm probably going to see a doctor soon. It's burned me that much. But, yeah, I mean, he's just he has crushed my soul, like, all week.
Yeah, I mean, he did have 20 against Detroit and 20 against Toronto, but since then he really hasn't done anything. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. This could be a pretty quick small forward discussion, yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's going to be George, Durant, or Giannis, and it's going to be Kyle Anderson. That's going to be your popular pairing tonight because mm-hmm. Kyle Anderson's $4,900.
Indeed, indeed. All right. I wanted to see one more thing. It was – who the hell was – oh, because people mentioned Joe Ingles today. Even though he burned badly in that last game on Monday.
He's going to be low-owned, and you can't deny the matchup or the minutes.
Indeed, indeed.
The different – it's – you know, is he going to shoot the ball?
Oh, my God. I didn't – he – oh, boy. I didn't even see his price increase.
Yeah,
$5,700 on FanDuel today.
Yeah,
it's funny too. His graph, like when you look at when you pull up his player bubble on FanDuel and you see the graph chart, it's like, you know, 23, 24, 24, and then that 2.5 is just hanging out there like an old floppy D.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's bad.
All right, let's get to power forwards here. We got an interesting discussion right at the top. We talked about the Pelicans tonight being in a rough spot here, back end of a back-to-back, two consecutive overtime games. They'll be playing the Hawks in the ATL this evening tonight. Now, I've already heard donuts. I've already heard bear. I've already heard myself. Are you firmly on the fade AD train as well this evening?
Not if everybody in the industry is going to be off of them, no. Are you kidding me?
We're smarter than everybody in the industry, so.
I understand that. But, I mean, it's very, very rare that, you know, three of our coaches, our NBA coaches, are firmly on something like this. You guys zig, I'll zag, and we'll see. I'll see you at the finish line.
Whoa.
I mean, it's the Hawks, guys. I'll even double it up. I'll pair Boogie and AD together and go at it. What's up?
Wow. Very interesting. Now, no, but I have a feeling that a lot of people in the industry are going to take that approach of it's the Hawks. Well, you know, let's go at it. But again, we've certainly, you know, here's the thing too. Like AD has done pretty well on back-to-backs. He's missed two back-to-back games this season, but in three of the four, he's posted at least 50 on both sites. So there's that. My thinking though is that I think this is going to be a Boogie night as opposed, like the movie title. It's going to be a Boogie night as opposed to the AD. Here's what's interesting about Atlanta. So Atlanta, they are the second best ADVP matchup this season for power forwards. However, if you remember at the beginning of the season, this team was absolutely hemorrhaging points to the center position. And we've kind of seen that come back around again here recently. And I think this has a lot to do with the return of Dwayne Dedman. Ever since Dwayne Dedman has been back in the lineup is kind of when the centers have been going off here against the Hawks again recently. So I think that's more the thing. Like, I think AD, you know, 50 points is certainly going to be within reason for him tonight. I'm not doubting that. However, we do know that he is the glass man, and my line of thinking here is this is just more of a Boogie night than it is an AD night.
Okay.
Okay. That's the disagreement from Keith.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking through a bunch of things, and like you guys aren't alone in thinking this. Like, I'm going through and I'm looking at some of these. Like, for those of you that don't know, I have a lot of memberships to a lot of different sites, so I know who's on who and who the chalk is, so I can properly pivot. You guys are, like, that thinking is exactly the way that a lot of these guys that are touting things around the industry are. Like, Boogie is going to be highly, highly owned. And for good reason. I'm not saying he's a bad play.
Right.
Like, but I think that if I'm going to play Boogie, I'm going to pair him up with AD and try to get both.
All right. Fair enough. Now, what do you anticipate AD's ownership to be this evening? And let's say the clutch shot on Fan. That's the $4 GPP for all you out there.
Half a Boogie.
I was looking for a more concrete number, but you know.
24.8%.
24.8. Okay. All right. I was going to go something along the lines of like a 35 to 40, just given given what AD has been doing lately, and especially
everybody
what he did last night.
Is talking about him being on the back end of a back-to-back and playing two overtime games and being at a 3-4 or whatever it is.
Sure.
Like, everybody is talking about that.
All right. Fair enough. That is the one thing that you will get with Key. I don't give a shit what the rest of the industry said. Like,
They're on a 3-4 back in the back to back. Everybody is talking about this.
I don't listen to anybody. Like, I don't read any other girl. Whatever. It is what it is. But I do it more because I don't want my content or my stuff to seem like it's duplicated or anything like that. You know, obviously there is a lot of advantage to looking at all that kind of stuff, but you know, I don't really care what anybody else is doing. I stay in my lane, bro. All right, so with all that being said, very, very interesting take from Keith. I did not expect that, but anybody else here at the power forward position we're looking at? Of course there is.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for LMA now that
Yes.
Kawhi's out. Draymond's out, so, I mean, that opens up Jordan Bell. It also opens up, in my opinion, Lauri Markkanen. I don't mind going back to Trey Lyles here. I don't mind. He's now back under 6K, so I don't need 30 minutes from him. You know, John Henson's in a really, really good matchup tonight. ADVP wise, he's under 6K. He's only 5,500. And I'm hearing some Bobby Portis talk, but I don't know if I like it.
Okay.
So let's, and then obviously, oh, I already mentioned Jordan Bell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start with Bobby Portis.
Well, hold on real quick. Oh, I want to just start real quick because we didn't talk about it since he's listed as a small forward, but Omri Caspery was a guy that I kind of liked tonight as well.
Yeah, with no Iggy and no Draymond, I can see that.
I know he'll probably play a little more at the four this evening, but I just wanted to talk because I was looking through the slag, completely forgot about him. All right, let's start with Bobby.
Okay, so this is a dude that's now under 4K. Is Mirotić back?
Mirotić is back.
So there goes my...
Well, here's the thing, because
No. What I was saying was, is like, there goes my theory that he wasn't going to play until after the trade deadline, because, you know, he showcased what he could do, and now he's, quote unquote, sick. So I guess not. I guess they still aren't getting the right offer, so they're not done showcasing him.
Well, we'll talk about it later. I was reading some very interesting stuff on ESPN Insider about who could potentially get traded for Mirotić. Very interesting stuff.
Wow. Okay, so Mirotić is playing 21, 24 minutes. Bobby Portis is basically relegated to under 20 minutes since Mirotić has been back. Now, that's not long for Hall because Mirotić, make no mistakes about it, will be traded. Mm-hmm. Lauri Markkanen is going to play about 30 minutes. Anywhere between 27 to 30 minutes. He's the guy that if you can afford him, you want on the Bulls. After that, like, I mean, are you playing Bobby Portis in hopes that he plays backup five when they can stick or he's going to play the four when they stick Markkanen at the five?
Yeah.
In hopes that Mirotić has gotten into foul trouble, which doesn't happen that often. I mean, I don't understand. Like I don't understand the Bobby Portis theory behind this.
Well, certainly the minutes aren't all that appealing, but I think, you know, he's very cheap. He's 3,900 on FanDuel. You know, he does have the ability to have these blow up spots every now and again.
I'd rather play Jonas Derebko.
Oh my God. I thought he was dead.
Well, he kind of is, but you've got Derek Favor.
He's just not in the casket yet.
Or Jeremy Grant. I mean, Jeremy Grant and Bobby Portis are basically the same person, but like at least Jonas Derebko has a clearer route to 25 minutes at the same price.
Sure. And I think, you know, you brought it up, you know, just a couple of seconds ago where you're talking like Portis is going to be more of that backup five, backup four. You know, that's his lane.
Here you go, Pascal Siakam.
Pascal. Who the hell are they playing tonight? Oh, the Detroit. Pistons? Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there. Now, granted, they've been in three paced-up matchups, but he's playing 29, 20, 23 minutes, and he's performing. We've seen this with Siakam. When he gets minutes, he generally does perform pretty well. It's always been a question about the minutes. You know, his minutes is trending up. To the low to mid 20s rather than the high teens. 4,100, if you're talking about Bobby Portis, I would much rather play Jonas Derebko or Pascal Siakam.
That is interesting. You know what it is? The Toronto second unit has been on steroids the last three games. Like, I don't know what is going on with them, but they get in these huge leads. The game against Cleveland, they just completely smoked them, and there was no Ibaka, so that's why, you know, Siakam got in there earlier. But the last two games against the Warriors and against the Sixers, they've just been getting their holes blown out, and then the second team has come back like running like mad. So I think that's why, you know, you're seeing more production out of Siakam. But, you know, you got to wonder, is that going to happen tonight against Detroit? You know, Detroit, not a terrible team. I think they're holding down the 7 or 8 spot right now in the East. But, I mean, that's why Siakam's been going bananas lately.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is like, if you're sitting there talking about Bobby Portis, I mean, I would rather play some of these guys rather than Bobby Portis, because I'm hoping they're all the same type of player. You're all hoping that something else happens in order for your guy to get there, which isn't the best way to do it, but it's one of those things. So.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's talk I don't know how we didn't talk about him first, but Jordan Bell, obviously been a huge topic of discussion today. You know, it's interesting because we've seen Steve Kerr say, okay, guess what? Jordan Bell's not really fitting in with what we're doing right now, and, you know, that's why Keon Looney's been getting a couple minutes, or getting Bell's minutes, not even a couple minutes. What is the thought here with Bell today? Because we know he's going to be starting at center tonight. Is he starting at the 4 or the 5? I don't think it really matters, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Well, according to the ADVP, the centers there haven't been doing so hot against Chicago, but, you know, the power forwards have been.
He's going to see time at both.
All right, let me just stop asking questions. What do you think about Bell tonight?
I think with Draymond and Iggy out, he's a really good play. I don't think he's a lock by any stretch of the imagination, mm-hmm. but I think he's a really, really good play. There's merit to fading him in tournaments, because now I think everybody's going to be on him with Draymond out. You know, it's just kind of the way that things kind of go. But, I mean, I think the ownership's going to be spread out enough at power forward that you won't have to worry about it too much, especially if, like, Kaminsky's out, or Larry Nance is out, or Scal is out. You know, you're going to have, you know, Derek Favors, I would assume, might be pretty popular. Lauri Markkanen's going to be popular. We know LMA is going to be popular. Kristaps always carries a little bit of ownership, even though he's going up against Memphis. Blake's going to carry some ownership under 9K. I mean, it's a really, really kind of, you know, Kuzma is there, and he's under 6K. It's a very, very, very interesting situation, because if Frank Kaminsky's out, you've got Marvin Williams, who
Kaminsky gonna be in.
Okay.
Well, I believe probable. I don't know if he was officially ruled in, but I know he was at least probable.
Here's the thing, though, is you got Kelly Olynyk going up against Milwaukee in a great matchup that's $100 more.
Right, but that's another situation where James Johnson, I know just because he's coming off the bench doesn't mean he's dead, but, you know, it's a situation where James Johnson's been getting more of that run. They kind of told Kelly O to take a seat, and you know, that's just been that. So
really, because again, they both played 29 minutes last game.
Yeah, but prior to that, Olynyk has just sucked. And, you know, and again, that was a back-end, back-to-back game for Miami. So just a different situation.
Right, but this is what I'm talking about. When you get to this low, like, Jordan Bell was announced a starter, and he played 13 minutes.
Yep.
Like, and I get it. Chicago, revenge game, Steve Kerr says all this other stuff. Like, I get it, but guys, he was announced the star. There's no, it's Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has now become Scott Skiles. Outside of Durant,
that is
Curry, harsh. Clay, and Dre, he is now Scott Skiles.
Well, the one thing to mention too with Jordan Bell, remember we've heard a lot of people talk about his last big game against the Chicago Bulls, and for one, that was a huge blowout game, but there was no Kevin Durant that day, no Dre, and he ended up. And remember, you know what I'd say, when Dre's out, you know, KD's usually the one that gets all those steals and blocks. Well, both of them were out that game, and Jordan Bell ended up having 2 steals and 6 blocks that game. So he was the beneficiary there. Our own Brandon Luz, the Luzmeister, as we all know him, you know, he's got a nice theory here too, where it's like, you know, when Kevin Durant's in the lineup, Jordan Bell kind of acts a little more timid out there. So I do – look, I think Bell, you know, not an automatic fade, not an automatic lock, but you just got to understand the risk that, you know, you take using a guy like that.
Yeah, it's a risk for sure. But I mean, it's not a bad play. I mean,
yeah, Jordan Bell, not bad. It's not a lock.
Jordan Bell starting at the five with Draymond and Durant and Clay and Curry. Like, you know, that situation, like that was an easy fade. Easy fade. And he garnered, like, he was 35% owned in tournaments that night. But, like, tonight with Draymond and Iggy out, I mean, there's a more of a clear cut. Like, I think a good pivot, what is his price?
43.
I mean, no. I think a great pivot in tournaments is playing Amir Caspi.
Yeah.
I like that. For cheaper. Granted, different position, and that's if he plays. Right now, he should play, but different position and everything. But you're good to go. So,
I'm gonna make that the tagline. He's not a fade. He's not a lock. He's Jordan Bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't get curd.
Let's see. Any other? I heard maybe some Kyle Kuzma talk today against OKC.
Yeah, I think it depends strictly on if Larry Nance is out.
Just saw that he's probable.
I mean, I guess I still don't mind it under 6K.
And then we briefly glanced over his name, but Scal Labissiere.
No,
you know,
I mentioned Scal.
Well,
he's questionable.
Right. We briefly glanced over him, but he is questionable. So if he's out, who's that beneficiary? I can't talk today, man.
You know who I want to go to, right?
Z-Bo.
Yes. Now, with Z-Bo.
Love that, man.
Yeah, it's tough for a lot of people. Because he basically didn't play against Oklahoma City, and we didn't have any idea why until after the game. But they don't have a lot of bodies in the front court if Scal misses.
No. I mean, hell, Willie Cauley-Stein played 40 minutes last game.
Yeah. Now, there's another guy you could go to is Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, he's under 7K, and he's going to play 32, 35 minutes. Let's see here. So I'm running it as if Scal's out right now. So give it just a second here.
Sure.
That means Z-Bo, I'd have Z-Bo projected for 27 minutes.
Interesting. Yeah, and you look at it too, right? So that matchup against Utah, I mean, Favors probably playing more at the five there. But you wonder if Sacramento's the one that dictates it and they say, all right, well, we are going to put Z-Bo in the four spot there and go with Willie Cauley-Stein at the five, does that mean maybe Utah goes with Favors at the four to counteract and Udo at the five to counteract? I mean, this is an interesting matchup to think about because Utah has been running a lot more like Thabo Sefolosha, Joe Johnson, Jerebko there at the four. They haven't necessarily been going with that bruiser. It's kind of been like a small ball lineup with Favors at the five. But remember, we saw Udo last game have a good one against Indiana there. So I think there's, you know, we got to wait for the information that comes out. But it's an interesting matchup scenario that could play out.
Yep.
All right. You mentioned Trey Lyles. I liked him too. He's seen a dip in minutes over the last couple of games, but one, you got to keep in mind the game at San Antonio, that was like the sixth game in 9 days, so a lot of those Nuggets guys didn't play as many minutes as usual. And then last night, Lyles got under 20 minutes again, but I have a feeling that that was a good indicator that he's going to be playing a lot more tonight.
Yeah, it was kind of weird because of the fact that he did.
A lot of those Nugget starters got ran into the ground last night.
Yeah. It was weird because like they've been playing Jokic and Plumlee on they've been playing Jokic and Plumlee in the lineup at the same time together, and then Lyles will come off the bench and kind of spell one of them. When they try to go a little bit smaller, they can also put Whistler Chandler at the four and move Will Barton down to the three and Gary Harris at the two and Jamal Murray at the one. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can go. The one thing I know that we don't have to worry about too much is, you know, Darrell Arthur, Kenneth Fareed taking more than like 10 minutes away. But like you said, with them not playing a lot, I mean, Plumlee only played 14 minutes last night. You know, Lyles only played 15 minutes. They went small a lot of that game. This could be one of those situations against guys like Blake Griffin. They need a guy like Trey Lyles out there a little bit more.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, we're going to get to centers here in a little bit. I got a fantastic breakdown of Jokic in this one, so we could be there. All right, two other guys that we really didn't touch on. We could do it real quick. Davis Bertans for the Spurs tonight. I know Pau Gasol's going to be in or expects to play tonight, but regardless, Bertans has still been playing pretty good minutes. Lots of production coming out of him, with the exception of the one game that everybody was on him against the Lakers, but he did get into foul trouble. Other than that, the minutes have been pretty solid. Production's been there. He's cheap. I mean, he's playing the Nets. I mean, this and his main matchup tonight probably going to be, what, Quincy Acey or Jared Allen, guys that, you know, you really don't worry about too much.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to go there, but I can kind of see the reasoning and understanding behind it.
I didn't even think about him when you were discussing it, but, you know, if we're talking about those Bobby Portis pivots, I thought, you know, that could be a fantastic one. And then the other guy, I know Derek Favors went bananas last game against the Indiana Pacers. That was a fantastic matchup, and he is priced up $600 on FanDuel going up against Sacramento. What do you think?
I don't mind Derek Favors. Like I said, I think he's going to be popular, or mm-hmm. one of the more popular power forwards. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it because I know he's going to play some of the five.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And then, again, I keep forgetting people. Blake Griffin.
No.
No? All right. Fair enough. All right, let's get to centers tonight. We already mentioned the situation going on with New Orleans tonight. I really like Boogie Cousins in this one. In six back-to-back games this season, he's hovered right around that 50 fantasy point mark. In his last game, which was against the Knicks, in his last back-to-back game, I'm sorry, he went for 63.3 on DK, just under 60 on FanDuel. That was via 29 points, 19 rebounds in that game, so that was good. I like the fact that Dwayne Dedmon probably going to be in there against him. I would expect Dwayne Dedmon to get the start. I'm not sure. Like, I have no solid data on this. It's just it seems like what they should do. So, again, if that's the case, man, I really like Boogie to just go hard on Dedmon tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you and everybody else in the industry, and I it's perfectly reasonable. I mean, Boogie's the top center play of the night, and there's a it's not hard to figure out why. So I mean, I honestly really don't mind it at all.
All right. On the other side of things, Dwayne Dedmon, we've heard him discussed a couple times today. The price is appealing, and it's appealing as well that, you know, his minute, he played the most minutes in the last four games since he's come back from injury at 25. His production has gone up incrementally in each game that he's been back since the injury as well. Again, we talk about this at nauseum against New Orleans. Teams need their bigs out there against AD, against Boogie. So I don't mind Dedmon as a salary saver. I'm not like, I think his ceiling is probably like 30, but I'm more or less expecting somewhere just below that.
I can't play Dwayne Dedmon. Not against Boogie. Right. It's not like he's cheap. He's 50. I mean, he's cheaper. He's 5,100 though. Like
cheaper.
I mean, I'd rather go play Ekpe Udoh.
And take
a shot, or maybe a Jakob Poeltl.
Jakob Poeltl. Those guys.
Go right back to the well, and play Willie Reed.
I love me some Willie Reed tonight. I think that this matchup sets up much nicer for him. Now, last game, I didn't play Willie because I wasn't too sure about what was going to happen with DeAndre Jordan. So that, you know, took me off him. We know that DeAndre Jordan is listed as he's closer to doubtful for tonight's game. He is listed as questionable, but probably won't play. So now here's where things get interesting, right? So I feel like Willie Reed, like whether it's going to be more Jokic, more Plumlee that the Nuggets throw out there tonight, I think Willie Reed is more of a viable guy for that sort of game. So I'm just going to lead this right into the Nikola Jokic discussion that I have. So he went nuts last night, as a lot of us here really liked. Now, he is on the back end of a back-to-back, but this is a little different situation since they played in Denver last night. So Denver has had their fair share of back-end back-to-back games. This will be their eighth of the season. So four of these were previously in Denver. So I just wanted to take a look at these. So on 11-4, on the back end of a back-to-back, he took on the Golden State Warriors and just had a brutal night. The whole Nuggets team had a brutal night, as a matter of fact. He played 34 minutes the night before against the Miami Heat, plays terrible the next night. The next time that he has a back end of a back-to-back, he goes into Minnesota and has a great game. That's a great matchup. But keep in mind, he only plays 26 minutes in a blowout win in Denver. Let's see. January 6th, he takes on the Sacramento Kings, plays 32 minutes the night before. The next night of the back end of a back-to-back, he goes 3-10 from the field with 5 turnovers that night. Last one. Plays, and this is interesting because this is at San Antonio, and this was one of those Sherry Ma games. But then, like, he played really well in San Antonio, but the night before, he only played limited minutes, 28 of them against the Memphis Grizzlies, and played great the next night. What this is all leading me to is that he played 33 minutes last night, did a lot for his team. So I have a feeling a lot of people probably want to go back to Nikola Jokic. I know it's a great matchup against the Clippers, especially if DeAndre Jordan is going to be out like we all think he is. But again, playing on the back end of a back-to-back where you were in Denver the night before is just not a recipe for success.
Yeah, I'm not playing Nikola Jokic tonight. I'd rather go play Dwight Howard. And I very rarely play Dwight Howard.
Which is funny because the two were comically compared yesterday.
Exactly. I don't know. I had stuff going on. honestly, I'd much rather go to Steven Adams, Julius Randle than Nikola Jokic. Maybe not as high as the ceiling, but they're more consistent as far as and they're cheaper. They're a good deal cheaper. It's just kind of one of those things. We have a history of this, and, you know, I'll take the number side of it, and especially with how tired he looked last night. So,
yeah, and again, we have the equator line, right? Like, anything above 30 on the front end of a back-to-back, he does terrible the next time. Anything below 30, he does great
on the following one. So I probably could have just said that easier, but I wanted to go through it for the people because I know he's going to be, you know, heavily talked about today. We talked about Willie Cauley-Stein a little bit earlier. $6,900 tonight. Price came down like a smidge, but you know, typically again, you know, we think about Utah, not exactly a great matchup, but if we're going against Derek Favors, Udo, it's not somewhere where I think we have to be scared of, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I mean, especially if Scal's out, he's going to play minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, again, playing 40 minutes last game is a huge, you know, and again, when Jaeger talked about wanting to play all the younger guys. Especially against a guy like Steven Adams. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that all is very appealing for his outlook. You mentioned Dwight Howard. Now, here's an interesting thing. If Marc Gasol doesn't play tonight, what do you do there? Well, Deonta Davis has actually been getting the minutes as the backup center these last two games. Brandon Wright hasn't even seen the floor. So I'm wondering if this could work with Deonta Davis if Gasol is out. He did put up 30 fantasy points in his last game in 13 minutes. So it's certainly something to look at. What do you think?
Something to look at, but I'm not like – unless it's a guy like Willie Reed or Ekpe Udo who can like just blow their salary out of the water, I'm not really excited about trying to save money at the center position because like the top end of it with Boogie and to an extent even Andre Drummond is so high, like I have to really be saving some money and getting some, you know, pretty equivalent points in order to get there. So,
yeah, and you know, you kind of led me right into it, which will be the last thing we talk about on today's pod. But that matchup between Andre Drummond and Jonas Valanciunas, I think both sides are pretty appealing here. You know, obviously Valanciunas's minutes aren't what we need them to be, but again, I think in a matchup against Drummond, you know, the Raptors would be willing to at least extend him a little more.
Yeah, we've thought that all game or all year.
And?
It just doesn't happen. Like, maybe 26 minutes?
Hey, if we get 26 out of Jonas, man, I'll be doing backflips on the back deck.
I mean, he played 13 minutes last game. I mean, his minutes are, for 5,500, his minutes are all over the map. 26, 13, 18, 20, 26, 17, 18, 16, 21. I mean, you can just keep going all season. Like,
well, I will say that last game, you know, going up against Joel Embiid, I didn't see too much of the game, but I did see that Joel Embiid got off to a hot
Pirtle in there?
To a hot start. But at least Pirtle is... he can move, you know. He's not like a fire hydrant. You know, he could actually, you know, go to the outside with Embiid. I just think that that was a poor matchup for Jonas. But again, against a guy like Drummond, who's going to be planted inside the paint, I think that works out much better for him.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that.
All right. Any other centers?
No, probably not.
Fair enough. All right, folks, if you like what you heard and you want to hear it 24/7, you could do so. Go to the DFSArmy.com, use the promo code podcast to get yourself 10% off each month of your subscription. That will do it for me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army today. We go.
Peace out.